Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, you're listening to the DPC podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things Dead Parent, the good, the bad, and the banter, hosted by
the best bingo caller in the world, Sam,
and Kat. Speaking of bingo calling, Sam's just let me know that she's thinking of going on a cruise ship to be a bingo caller, which I think it's going to be a brilliant career choice for her.
I think this is going to be phenomenal. If anyone has any connections in the bingo calling industry, let me know.
Oh my gosh, I can just imagine you. When you come back, you can set up your own bingo hall wherever you end up.
Honestly, I've just been speaking to Toby as well and saying, just been speaking to my sister, and I was like, right, when are you going to open your own gym then? I was like, we can have a gym.
A gym during the day and a bingo hall at night?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What are you saying? I think this could happen.
That'd be great. That'd be great for everybody's hopes and dreams, though.
Wouldn't it?
I think you'd all be really happy. Yeah. Your mum would just be like, what the fuck?
She'd be loving it. Can you imagine? Oh, well, because Toby's reasoning as well, she was like, well, you've got a maths degree, so you'd be good at numbers.
So applicable.
Yes. So that would be one milestone, eh?
Yeah, well, yeah, 100%. Today we are talking about milestones. So a few months ago we asked people on Instagram what they want us to talk about. And one of the answers was how to deal with grief at milestones.
How to deal with grief, full stop.
I wish we had the answer to that question. So milestones can be anything from their 1 year death anniversary to your birthday to your graduation and getting a new job, and basically there's so many of them throughout the year. And I think there are always times when we reflect and it can be really painful. So yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So what I love about us having the opportunity to talk about this as well in terms of milestones is that usually when people refer to milestones, it's stuff like your wedding day and having kids and like, yes, they are going to be huge milestones to deal with, and we'll talk about them a bit, but there's less, what are they called? Like less, I suppose, like less like mainstream, less like mainstream like milestones.
We're talking about the indie milestones.
The indie. We're talking about the hipster kind of grief, not like the mainstream kind of grief. So, like, your 21st birthday, your graduation, like, getting your first job out of uni, like,
yeah,
all that stuff, like, your parents' 50th birthday.
Yeah, definitely. There's literally, I think, over the last couple of years since you and I have met each other, there have been so many milestones that we can talk about. So, yeah, I think maybe our first one could probably be our 21st birthdays, because both of us had our 21st birthdays very soon after the death of the parent.
I can remember it so well.
Your 21st, can you?
So, because my dad died in the December and my birthday's in February. So It was, and it was also my younger sister Toby. It was her 18th birthday in the January. So Dad died 20th of December, and Toby turned 18 on the 18th of January. So that still was obviously like a cryy time. So there was no celebration there. So for my 21st, I'd kind of decided like I didn't want to celebrate. I was like, what's the point in celebrating? Like, I was still, obviously it was like less than 2 months after my dad had died.
Yeah.
All I was doing was crying on nights out.
You're like, life is shit. What's the point of me celebrating still being alive at 21?
Exactly. I was like, what's the point in celebrating this milestone? My dad's not even here for my 21st birthday. So that, like, I was like, yeah, that was such a non-birthday. And I was so like, and I was really, I was kind of being a bit spoiled about it as well, because I mean, it's literally such a privileged thing to moan about. Like, oh my God, my dad's not going to be here for my 21st birthday or whatever. Like, people have it so much worse off, but I can just remember
a
significant thing. And then when it was my 22nd, the year after, I was so determined to make that a big celebration, because I was literally saying to everyone, I didn't have a 21st birthday last year, so this is basically my 21st birthday. So I was like, we turned 21 again.
What did you do on your actual birthday then? I'm guessing you were in Newark.
What, the first year? No, I was in Lancaster.
Were you?
I actually didn't celebrate anything. So my mum's not a big, I think I've said this before, my mum doesn't celebrate anything anyway. So birthdays for her, she's like, oh, it's just another day. So when it was my 21st, I literally didn't. It was kind of like it came and went. But I tell you what, what I do remember is when it was coming up to my 22nd birthday, and I was saying to everyone, oh, I didn't have a good birthday last year because my dad just died. I remember I actually sat one day and actually thought back and was like, oh no, it actually was good. I think I actually did go out.
You would have done 100%.
Yeah, because I was at uni, so I would have gone out.
I was invited to that, actually, I think, you know, because we...
I tell you what I did. I've just remembered.
It was the basement party.
The basement, yeah, exactly. So I had this perception that it was like the shittest day ever. But actually, I did actually have a celebration.
Yeah, that was a good night, that, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm remembering more and more now.
We, in the JCR, we got you a Pandora charm for your bracelet, and it was the lion.
Yes. Yes. See, this is a thing. Like, I actually remember having all these revelations on my 22nd birthday and thinking, actually, it wasn't that bad.
So I didn't clouded.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's one of those things that you really, really just don't appreciate in the moment, because on that day you're just so obsessed with the fact that your dad isn't there and you feel like crap. But in reality, all these good things happen around you, but you don't notice them.
Yeah, or maybe, I think for me, maybe it's even like trying to make subconsciously like feeling sorry for myself and making people around me feel sorry for myself by pretending that I had this story of having a shit 21st birthday, when actually it was actually really fun.
Yeah. our minds are so weird. Like,
God, aren't they? So yours, it was at your house.
It was at my house. So, but that wasn't my actual 21st day. So I had the party the weekend before. All you guys were there, weren't they? Because that would have been that
summer.
And it was fun, to be fair. I had loads of people over. The one thing I remember the most is my next door neighbour, she bakes cakes, and they are amazing cakes. Chocolate tiffin cake, oh my god. And I remember she'd come over to my house like the day before to drop it off, and my dad had done it with her. And I opened the cake, and it was just photos all over it of like me and my mum and family photos and stuff. And I literally just burst out crying. I was like, oh.
I think I was there when she brought the cake round.
I don't know. You may have been. Yeah. I just couldn't control it. I just cried straight away because I was like, oh, goodness, can't deal. Oh. Like, I think when you're hosting a party, your mind's kind of elsewhere. You don't really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that party was great. I had a great time. And I think it didn't hit me as much then because it wasn't my actual birthday.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded by loads of friends and family and it was fun. But then I didn't actually have any plans on my birthday. I remember I woke up at home and I was really sad, cried in the morning. And then me and my dad went somewhere for the afternoon. But one of my friends, actually Emma, bless her heart, took the day off work and took me to a spa in the afternoon, which was really nice. We had like a little spa afternoon. But then, yeah, I got home at like 5 o'clock and I just had no plans. And I remember just spent my whole evening sleeping and crying in my bed.
Yeah, because it would have been like the uni holidays as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. You know how you mentioned the fact that you sound spoiled because you're like in your own grief and you're ungrateful for what you actually do have because you're so thinking about what you don't have. So that's something that I still really struggle with. So I was a massive bitch on my 23rd birthday this year. Like, I was hell. Basically, it turned 12 at home and I literally spent the whole night crying. I don't think I got to sleep until about 4 in the morning, like full on soul crying, like the depths of despair about my mum, like really sad. Kept listening to voicemails that I've got of her singing happy birthday to me over and over again.
Oh, that classic, like, I feel really sad, so I'm just going to make myself feel sadder.
Literally, it was just soul destroying. Then I went into work.
I literally have got visions.
Yes.
Like, I literally imagine it like a scene out of a film.
It was like the saddest thing you could ever think of. It was awful. So obviously then I woke up and I was in the worst mood ever. But I went into work and they were so good. They made such a big deal out of me. Like, they'd put like decorations on my desk and balloons.
Yes.
Yeah, sung happy birthday, people got me presents. And it was so kind of them because, like, my dad is shit at birthdays, like, shit. So that was dead nice. But then, yeah, my dad picked me up and drove me to my cousin's house in kind of near Shropshire Way-ish. But I was just really ungrateful. Like, yeah. I cried the whole entire meal. Didn't really talk to anybody. I was basically just consumed in my own grief to acknowledge the fact that people have made an effort to meet up for a meal on my birthday.
Yeah.
What should have been a nice meal with my family and stuff just turned into a pity party for Kat because I just cried and cried and cried.
Mate, I mean, I feel so guilty at the fact that I always, the first thought that comes to my mind is that, oh, I must have had a shit birthday because my dad had just died. And maybe that's just because I'm like, maybe that's what I used to tell everyone so that they didn't think that I was like weird for being happy after my dad died.
Maybe. But that's one of the things we can talk about. Like, you're allowed to be grateful and be happy on those days.
So why do you think that you, what was it that you were the saddest about on your birthday?
I think I just fully let the grief consume me on that day. Yeah. Like, I think because my dad's not very good at birthdays and because my mum was always the one that got me a birthday card and got me a gift and like made it a bit more of a deal, I was just like, life's so unfair because my birthday's a shit now because my mum's dead.
Yeah, this day used to be all about me.
Yeah.
Damn it. It's still all about me, but now I'm sad about it.
Yeah, literally. Like, I was such a bitch and so ungrateful that day, and it really annoys me. And if that had been my last birthday, like, it would have sucked because I was so rubbish to be around. So
when did you realise that you were being a bitch?
Probably a few months later.
Yeah.
was looking back and I was like, oh God, what a cow.
That's it. You don't realise till you look back, you're like, wow.
No. One of the things you've got to remember though as well is that people forgive you for being like that on those days.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter how you act, like at the end of the day, it is your kind of be a bitch free card. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And I do think the most important thing is that you, but I do think it's important that you know that you are being like that. Like if you are being like that and you don't realize and everyone around you is like, oh, it's fine. She's just feeling like that. But if you don't acknowledge that that's like, you know, not standard behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about that imaginary DPC pass card. That's definitely one of the days use it.
Yeah, pulling out a dead parent card on those days.
Yeah.
But yeah, birthdays are a big one. I got really sad around my birthday this year because it was my 25th birthday this year. That felt very significant because 25 just feels like a big year because you're all of a sudden you're in your late 20s.
You're not a kid anymore.
No. And it made me realise, like, I don't know, I hadn't been really that emotional around a birthday probably since my 21st. And I think it was just because it is such a like milestone age in that you're supposed to be like, I am like actually like figuring my shit out now or trying to figure my shit out. Like when it was my 21st birthday, I was still going through the motions of uni, like still just like, you know, doing what I needed to do to get through uni. And now I'm like, gosh, I really could do with my dad now because I'm 25 and I need help figuring this shit out.
Figuring out what life is.
Yeah. And I was like, and look at all the, everything that I've done in the past 4 years. God, I wish I could tell him.
Yeah. It's one of those things, I think birthdays really do just bring you back down to earth because it's meant to be such a big celebration, but you just can't help but think about that person that isn't there.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you do anything on your birthday? Like, I don't know, do you like look at photos or anything?
Like grief-wise?
Yeah.
I did this year because, like, literally because I was laid there in bed thinking, I am about to turn 20. So I've always been nervous about getting older. Like, for example, I cried on my 20th birthday and this was even when my dad was alive. And I was at the Sugar House at Lancaster and everyone knew how upset I was about turning 20. And the DJ just kept playing Not 19 Forever and giving me shout outs. So that literally crying behind the bar.
So ridiculous.
So I did this year and I started looking back at pictures. And I think the older you get as well, you see more pictures of your parent at that age.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, I'm getting... So one day I'm... And like the thing that you said to me before is like, that you're terrified of getting to the point where you've lived longer like, without your mom than you have with
them. Mm. It scares the pants off me, that does.
Scares the pants off me.
It's a weird one, isn't it? I'm making a promise to myself this year that I'm going to let myself like listen to the voicemails that I've got of my mum singing happy birthday to me. But yeah. I'm going to have a cry, but I'm not going to let it consume my whole day. And I'm going to try and like, you know, just be a bit more grateful and aware of what I'm doing and just try and plan something that's going to be like fun or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to be, you know, present for it and not let my mind take me into the depths of despair.
Yeah, I know what you mean about being grateful now. This is just another note on the birthday from this year. Like, on my actual birthday this year, I just went, I was like, do you know what? I just want to go to CrossFit. Went to CrossFit, went to yoga. And then we were all staying, having like a sleepover around our mate's house, because that's what you do when you're 25 years old. but we were going to that Daybreaker sober dance thing in the morning. I rocked up at my friend's house and they had decorated the whole like downstairs and they'd cooked like fajitas and they bought me presents and made me a birthday ice cream cake. And before even any of that happened, when they gave me the card, I literally just started crying. They were like, what? And I was like, what have I done to deserve this amount of love?
Aww.
I am so far away from home. Like, and this is the most loved I've felt on a birthday, like, ever. And I just got very, very emotional.
Aww. So nice of them.
Yeah, so friends, do nice stuff for your friends on birthdays.
Yeah, 100%. Never know how much it might affect them.
So what's the next big milestone for you then after your 21st birthday? Would it have been graduation?
Yeah, I would think so. Took me a while, but got there in the end. Graduation was just, that was such a great day.
Yeah, wasn't it? Graduation for me, honestly, was the best day of my entire life.
I loved it so much. Loved yours and loved mine. Like, it was brilliant.
I've never been happier than those days. Like, I can literally remember saying to my family, like, this is, I just felt pure joy from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep. I don't at all remember being sad.
No.
Like, I definitely shed a tear because classic, like, everyone would say, oh, your dad would be so proud. Mm. So I defo shed a tear, but it was just more pure joy. Like, I was surrounded by, I was so, so lucky that my mum came. So I was very, very lucky that I had a parent there. My nan came, my auntie came, and also my best friend from childhood, Hannah, came. And it was literally just, I felt so loved. Like, even though none of my sisters accepted the invitation to come. And then I had, like, you and Kate there, and obviously everyone else that was graduating as well. And I just was like, could this day get end? The sun was shining.
So good.
I felt pang in my dress.
Oh, it was just the best. Like, when we went out and stuff. Oh, it was, yeah. That's one of those funny things. You think, leading up to it, but were you nervous leading up to it? Do you think you were going to find it really difficult?
Definitely. Yeah, I was like, I thought I'd just be like ugly crying walking across the stage.
Never mind falling over. It's like, my dad's dead.
Yeah, literally. Imagine if they were like on the stage, Sam Vidler, and just go,
The thing is, though, what I've started to think about now is that the amount of people in that hall that were missing somebody that they loved that day.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you, in the lead up to that, I was getting so annoyed. I think I've said this a couple of times before, but there was a girl that I lived with, and she would get so pissed off. She was getting so upset that her parents didn't want to sit next to each other at her graduation. Mm. I was like, you want to stop right there. At least you have both parents coming to your graduation.
Yeah.
Like, I found that difficult in the run-up to it, being like, people that were complaining that, you know, like, that their great-grandma couldn't get a ticket or something. Like, come on.
Yeah. So, like, people were so lucky we didn't realise it, but also, you know, the amount of people that would have been exactly like us, we're missing somebody that they love. Yeah. At the end of the day, we didn't know all the DPC members, did we?
No, true. I actually don't, I'll be honest, I don't think I mean, I might have done, but at this moment, I can't remember thinking, oh, I wonder how everyone else with their parents right now.
Yeah, I didn't at the time. No, not at all.
Just consumed with how great I thought I was. Wow.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah, I loved graduation. And I can't believe how lucky I was that I had my dad, my auntie, both my brother's wife, my cousin. Yeah. And then I come out of my ceremony and you, Amy and Laura are there with a sign. Oh, my goodness. That was just like the best thing.
That was literally the best. So we all surprised Catherine on her graduation. We all told her we couldn't make it. and was secretly scheming behind her back to be there because she'd been there for our graduation. So we wanted to be there, and we watched the ceremony. Ooh. We couldn't get tickets into the ceremony because that's what you did as well for me. You and Kate both went and got tickets to come into the ceremony.
Yeah, we were lucky though. There was some spare on the day, so
yeah. And just having that those two extra voices in there, like whooping and cheering you on. So we went and watched in like one of the lecture halls, and we bumped into your family.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Oh, and then we came and the girls made a banner, and we came and surprised you. Oh, that was literally the best. I can just literally remember you just falling to the floor. I was like, we've nailed it. We've absolutely nailed it.
I did nail it so much. That's the best thing that anybody has ever done for me in my life. Like, oh my God, having everybody there was amazing. And I was dreading it. Like, before my graduation, I was like, this day isn't going to be the same. I'm going to be so upset. Like, the person that I want to be there isn't going to be there. But there were just so many people there that I've got so much love for. And
yeah.
It was amazing, the food and the drinks and the weather and the graduation and then the night out. Like, it just, I don't know, all of it was just perfect.
Yeah, but I wonder how everyone else feels in their graduation. Like, I wonder if my dad hadn't have died, would I have felt so much joy on that day? I didn't think so, because I would have just been like, oh, look, Mum, Dad are here. Like, obviously I would have been happy, but I was so, so grateful for all the other members of my family that came, and friends, and
it's support that I think, like, you wouldn't get that level of support if that person was alive, because people know that you've got what you need from your parents.
Exactly. That is a DPC privilege.
Yeah, it is.
Having an extra special graduation day.
Yeah. Like, people really do show how much they care about you when you've got a dead parent.
Yeah. I think as well, because there was that extra, like, wow, you've done it. You managed to make it through uni, even when at times you thought you were going to quit.
Yeah.
And here you are, you made it to the end. I like that just in itself just made it so much more fulfilling. I think the fact that I actually graduated
with a dead parent
through all of it, yeah, exactly, after wanting to drop out and you know, all these things, when you actually make it through to the end, it makes it so much more, just so much more special. And
I think about that sometimes. Like, sometimes when I'm driving, I think about the fact that, like, I have to kind of remind myself that the fact that I got through uni and my mum died whilst I was at uni is pretty epic. Like, I often forget how major that is, and I just think, oh yeah, I got a degree. But no, like, I got a degree and my mum died, and it's one of those pinnacle times of your life as well. So I think sometimes you have to be conscious of all of the things that you've actually managed to achieve.
Yeah, I forget that we did that.
Yeah, so do I, because it's just part of our, like, normality, you know?
Yeah, the further away you get from it, the further away I get from it, the further away it is just that I graduated. And I can remember actually saying, I think me and you both have spoke about this, like, when we've said in, like, graduate job interviews, like, look, yeah, I graduated, but I also did this whilst my parent was dying.
Yeah, exactly, which is mega.
So speaking of then, getting your graduate job, I mean,
I think more than anything, I think we could have done with guidance from that person over that time of our lives.
100%. When I think back to it though, the first memory I do have is when I got that graduate job.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because again, this is the thing about being the DPC, it makes everything more emotional.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't just gone and got a graduate job, which is amazing. Like, your dad's died and you've gone and got a graduate job. Like, it just adds an extra accomplishment to everything. And I remember I got the phone call and I messaged you all. I messaged the group saying, like, I got it. And like, from like four, they were like, everyone was like, where are you?
Yeah.
And I said, where I was.
the specific spot in the library, and literally from like all four corners of the library, just this rampage of you guys like running towards me. I'm like, I just burst out crying. Oh, it was amazing. And I can remember ringing my mum, actually, and I literally can remember the conversation. I was like, "Mum, I've got the job." And literally, she just started crying. Aww. And that was the first time. It literally makes me want to cry now.
Yeah.
That was the first time that we'd had some kind of like a significant bit of good news.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I just knew that she was so proud, and she was like, she must have been relieved as well, like, thank fuck.
Yeah.
But she was like, that was also a pivotal moment in like mine and my mum's relationship. So I was like, shit, she must care a bit.
Yeah.
And she started crying, and then I started crying.
I do think it's those times that your other parent can sometimes really surprise you and step up when you didn't realize. Like we can, you know, we can complain about our alive parent as much as much as any other
person. Exactly.
There are times like that when you think, oh my god, like they're really proud and they're really relieved for me and they're just as happy as I am.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
It was amazing, because I was like, I remember that night, that whole day was an emotional one, because then I started thinking like the first person that I would have called
was your dad.
Would have been my dad. He would have been the first person that I called. So I can remember it feeling really weird going to my phone and typing Trace versus dad. Like,
yeah,
that was a weird one. But the new guy, that Tracy pulled it out of the bag. She got emotional. I got emotional. You guys came running up to me, got a cracking Facebook status out of it.
Yeah. Of course. It's true. Like there are, you know, on those milestones when you're celebrating something huge, like getting your first job and stuff, there are other people that can celebrate with you rather than just the person that's not here anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And again, it's worth remembering.
Yeah.
Can you remember when you got your job?
Mine was a bit topsy-turvy, really, wasn't it? Originally got like what was meant to be my job when I graduated, but didn't work out. But I remember when I got that and I rung Dad, and Dad got really emotional about it, and so did I. And that was like a big thing. But that's obviously all been like quite tainted now, because I was unemployed for ages, wasn't I? So if anything, really, I could have bloody done with my mum being around and being like kind of having somebody at home helping me with my applications and stuff, really. But then obviously I got the job that I've got now, and yeah, like I was actually on a walk yesterday with Sam, and I was saying to him, like, I think my mum would be really happy with who I am now and what I'm doing and how I'm kind of living my life, and she'd be proud of the job that I've got as well, and I'm proud of what I do and how far I've come. So yeah, kind of like those pivotal kind of thoughts that you have about where you're at in your life. It makes me think about her a lot, but
doesn't it? Do you know what side note, what I would love to have is both a tally and one English pound for every time someone said, your dad would be so proud.
Yeah, literally. Like
during each milestone. And I actually wonder if, I wonder what the correlation is between like years of life versus like years after death versus number of times someone says your dad would be so proud.
Yes. Whether it actually goes down a bit or goes up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Correlation. There'll be like spikes in your lifespan. There'll be like graduation, getting your first job, getting married, having a baby. Like, huge spikes and messages. Your mum would be so proud. Your dad would be.
Gosh, I can remember as well, like, because I know like both of our first graduate jobs didn't work out, which I think is hashtag inspo for people. Like,
well, 100%, it was completely for the best.
Yeah, like my grad job, I literally look back at the status, and the status is like, just got my dream job. And I think, as Kat has found out, and Toby said to me earlier, every single job I've ever had has been my dream job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is the dream. This is the dream. And 2 months in, I wanted to quit. And I did quit 2 months in. And I really could have done with my dad at that time. Like, I can remember ringing my mum in tears so many times, being like, I don't know what to do. And my mum was like, I don't know how to help you. And I was like, but dad would know how to help me. And that was just so tough.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And I was lucky that I had my godfather. Is a very sensible businessman, and was able to kind of like, literally as soon as I rang him crying one Saturday, and because I kind of didn't know, like, he was kind of like the last resort to turn to, and he straight away was like, right, I'm speaking to Karen, who's his wife, I'm cancelling plans for tonight, you're coming to stay, and we're gonna figure this out.
Oh
yeah, so that I was so grateful to that.
Yeah, those people stepping up, man, what would you do without them?
I think the theme that we are coming back to is what one that we always come back to, which is often easier said than done, but gratitude.
Yeah,
at each of the milestones. Like, you're going to be sad. Like, it's going to be so sad, especially the closer you are to the death. So, like, you know, in the few years after, literally everything feels like a huge milestone.
It does.
Like, everything. It could be, God, I don't even know, like winning a netball match or something could feel like a huge milestone.
It's those moments when the first person you want to call is the person that's dead.
Yes. And that's all you can think. God, the amount of times, especially in that first year, that I was like, I would literally be walking out of a lecture room, go to ring my dad and be like, shit, can't do that anymore, can
I?
Taking the time to check in with yourself and being like, yeah, it is really shit and really sad that that person's not here, but look at who is here and what you are achieving at the time. And even if you don't have any other family members, like, whether you've got friends around or even supportive lecturers or anything, like, anyone that's stepping up, be grateful for those little...
You know, one of the things that I really try and think of whenever, you know, something big's happening in my life or, like, kind of day-to-day life really in general, I suppose, is I'm trying to live my life through my mum as well. So do the things that she would have wanted me to do. Obviously, if I don't want to do them, they're not, but saying yes to more things and appreciating things more whilst I'm doing them, and remembering that like the life that we're living now, we're living it because of them. Like, yeah. Like they were our parent, and we have to kind of make the most of what we've been left as well. So yeah,
that's one thing that I actually don't do well. I never sit there and think, what advice would my dad give me, or what would my dad want me to do? Whereas I know that, like, when we spoke to, like, Beth Rendell, for example, she said that really helped her.
Mm.
And I always forget that I could do that.
Yeah.
I just think, well, dad's not here, so therefore I don't have that advice. Whereas I could probably hazard a guess at what he would say.
See, I don't do that because me and my mum are such different people. So I think what she would say to me would be different to what I would think anyway. But I do take parts of her with me in situations like that, like her bravery to say yes to things and, you know, situations like that. But yeah, I think it is a nice thing to think of whenever you're going through one of these huge milestones, to think about what they would say to you.
Yeah.
At that time.
I can remember another milestone, actually, that's just come to mind. And I think I've obviously very, and this is one that I don't talk about often because I know how, I always say how lucky I am. And I've had very awkward conversations with people around this. But when I bought my house.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate enough that my dad had incredible life insurance and a teacher's pension, and he left money for me and my sisters. Not a huge amount, but pretty much exactly just enough money to put down a deposit on a house. Mm. And I can remember the first night that I spent in that house. I sat and started, so I used, that was at the time when I was writing, like blogging a lot and writing a lot of stuff. And I started writing a note in my phone. I wonder if I still have it, actually. I started writing like a letter to my dad.
Because
it felt like really significant. That's probably one of the only times I've done that. But I can just remember, I think I probably only got to one line, but it literally said, I bought a house. Well, actually, no, you bought me a house. But I can like remember that being such a significant thing, especially because it was like the only reason I had it was because he was dead.
Yeah, it's such like a bittersweet thing, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I found it. Okay, I didn't write. Oh, okay, so this was on the 4th of February 2017, and it just says, so I bought a house. Okay, I'm lying. You bought me a house. I've just finished dry January. I know, I don't believe it either. I've started my dream job. Quit my dream job. I'm so lucky that you had such a wonderful friend in Mark, who is my godfather. Side note. And we'll be forever grateful for you making him my godfather. Ironically, full stop. And that's all I got to. But I can, like, that's one of the first times that I've ever sat and felt like I needed to, like,
say something.
Yeah, like to my dad, which I've not done, I don't think I've really done since, except when I'm feeling really shit and I'm like, for God's sake, why?
Yeah. Such a weird moment that I can only, you know, I can't imagine. It's like the only reason you could buy that house was because your dad was dead.
They're literally like mental. The amount of times that people have, everyone, like, it's so funny because everyone is like, how the fuck are you able to buy a house at the age of 22? I can't remember how old I was. Must have been 23. How the fuck you buy a house at that age? And I'd literally be like,
because my dad's dead.
And I used to say to people all the time, like, everyone was like, yeah, how'd you buy a house at that age? I used to say, like, deadpan, dead seriously, and say, right, so you just got to decide which parent you like the least. And then... or
make sure it's a parent that actually had a job, unlike mine.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I'd be, yeah. Or I'd say, well, you've got to just find either a parent or some kind of family member that has got some good life insurance going on. Make sure they, dose them with cancer or something. And then you're away with the fairies. And so many people, that's always been a very awkward conversation for people.
100%.
Yeah, because then people are like, I'm sure you'd much rather have your dad here, but it's good that you've got a house out of it instead. And I'm like,
yeah, I know.
The amount of times I'd be like, would I rather have my dad or a house? I'm not sure.
quite like this brick and mortar, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really
really good attention and affection from it. Never feel alone inside it whatsoever.
These brick walls give really warm hugs.
Yeah. Really good advice in these four brick walls.
Honestly, yeah. But that's been a very significant one.
So I thought we could maybe just quickly go through these points from this article that I found when I actually Googled ways to cope with grief at milestones.
Yes, please.
I thought, go through them, give our due on them maybe. So number one is don't hide your grief, which I think everybody can agree with is definitely legit. And even at times when you feel like you should, because everybody else is happy, like at Christmas and birthdays.
God, Christmas.
Yeah, like stuff like that, you know. you're allowed to say, you know what, I'm finding it difficult, I'm finding it hard. I know, like, yeah, everybody else around you is happy and it expects you to also feel the same, but you're allowed to be like, not really, I'm feeling a bit crap. Like, don't hide the fact that you're feeling crap, because pretending to feel happy, I think, is a really difficult thing to do. And it never works. Everybody always knows when you're not being yourself. Number two is celebrate your progress, which we've spoken about on this as well. It's like, yeah, like every milestone that you take and that you make is another step in your life towards, you know, being great. So
it's like you've made it.
Yeah. So acknowledge your accomplishments. Just because they're not here anymore doesn't mean that what you've done isn't worth celebrating.
Mm-hmm. It's probably worth, as we found, celebrating even more.
Yeah. Yeah. And do like, embrace that. Like when I said, sometimes I'm in my car and I'm like, oh my god, I got a degree after my mum died, like that's mega. Like give yourself praise, like pump yourself up and be like, that's sick that I managed to do that, because it is pretty sick. Number three on here said give yourself permission not to observe a milestone. Mm-hmm. So which I think, yeah, it's quite kind of like, I don't really know how to describe this one.
I think there could be a lot of pressure to celebrate or to acknowledge like milestones. Like, so say if it is a death anniversary or the first Christmas without them. I mean, I do think they are kind of I think they should be acknowledged. But if for you, because that's the thing, right? There is no rule book, and if for you it is just another day. And that's how you're going to be able to best cope and get through the day. And it's just another day.
One thing maybe could be quite like relevant to is things like your first Mother's Day or Father's Day. Like if you don't want to acknowledge that day, like, you know, how we do social media posts and stuff like that. Mm. If you want to pretend that day doesn't exist and just carry on trying to live a normal day, then that's fine. You do you.
Yeah, 100%.
Ask people to kind of just be wary of you, perhaps, maybe, and just be like, I just don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah. God, yeah, because there'd be nothing worse than you trying to ignore it but trying to not acknowledge that, and then 10 of your friends think they're really helping you by sending you lots of lovely messages.
Yeah.
I've said to them before, like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think communication is key.
100%.
This one is number four, is consider the healing power of serving others. So this is kind of taken into account the fact that there are other people as well who are going through grief, which we're obviously very aware of on the numerous grief platforms that there are on Instagram. So I think I'm going to take a bit of a, I'm going to work with that one a little bit and use something more like make use of the platforms that are online that have got these huge grief communities on them and engage in conversation with people on them and ask them for advice on what you think you should do when you're feeling a certain way or when a certain milestone is approaching. I think that's probably the best way to do it, is to get advice from other people that are, you know, feeling how you have.
Is that also saying, like, you can make yourself feel better by helping other people that are in the same situation as you?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's like giving your own advice to people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Kind of like what we do.
Yeah, just do what we do, guys. So on a Mother's Day, if, for example, it's your second Mother's Day and you know there's someone who's, it's their first Mother's Day, you can give advice or kind words or a love heart emoji.
Yeah. Well, it says on here, like, your own experiences with grief may help them feel heard and understood, which we found a lot of that. So love that. Very, very relevant. Remember your loved one through a ritual. So I think ritual is quite a spiritual word, but any kind of habit, like for me on birthdays, I listen to the voicemails from my mum. And you, Sam, you watch those videos that your dad's on quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm really sad because I don't have them in Australia.
Oh, no, rubbish.
Yeah. I do what I do on his birthday is scroll through his Facebook page.
Yes, yeah. There's like loads of things you can do. I've still got some my mum's texts on my phone, and you know, we have like printed photos as well in photo albums and stuff. Or it can be something like calling a family member who also knew them and just having a conversation about them. Yeah, I think any way to remember.
Sharing a memory online.
Yeah.
It was interesting actually, because I was speaking to a friend on Sunday, so hopefully she'll probably be on the podcast next week even, but it's her her dad's birthday on what would have been her dad's birthday on Sunday, and he died 6 years ago, and she was like, Sam, what, she was like, I don't know what to do on that day. I've never really thought about it, like, what do you do on that day? And I went back through the past 4 years and was like, I've literally done something completely different every single year.
Yeah.
The one theme throughout is like, I was like, I just want to make sure that I am looking after myself, feeling good, and remembering my dad. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing, but I am remembering him in some way.
Yeah. I think it's just being more conscious of your actions that day and being aware, like making sure that you plan something that's going to kind of make you feel good rather than make you feel bad. Mm. The next one is reach out for support, which is obviously something that we really encourage people to do. You know, if you're feeling like you need help, definitely reach out for it.
Yep.
Obviously always very important, and staying connected to people that make you feel good as well, like family and friends, but make sure you surround yourself with the people that make you feel good and not the people that sometimes suck the life out of you. We've all got them in our lives. They do it. So avoid them. Yeah. Number seven I really, really like, which is search for the sweetness in your grief, which, yeah, I think, yeah, you know, it's so important, and we've had so many people on the podcast who have found positives within their grief. You know, it's the people that say that it's changed their life for the better, and they're more motivated now, and they're more grateful now, and they feel like they're just living a better life and a more, like, aware, they're more aware of their actions and stuff as well. And I think that's so true. And one of the things on here says, remember on your milestone that your grief is a sign that you loved somebody deeply. So tell yourself that you're a lucky person and you got to love that person who died. And now the loss of it is showing me how much I love them and how much room there is in your heart for love, which I think is so nice.
That is. I'm finding it interesting the use of the word sweetness.
Yeah. The sweetness in your grief.
I never heard of it being spoke like that, like find the sweetness in your grief. And I think to me, I when I first heard that before the explanation, I was like, oh, what do you mean sweetness in my grief? But yeah, just looking for the positives.
Yeah, it starts, try to reframe your grief from something that feels like it's going to kill you to something that can feed you and motivate you.
Which, yeah, can be easier said than done, but definitely doable.
Yeah, it's something that I think we really encourage. And Victoria spoke a lot about that, didn't she, on her podcast?
Yeah, big time.
Big time. And the final one is let go of regrets and forgive. We all have them. Like, I have them on my actual birthday. I always think, why didn't I spend my previous birthdays with my mum? Like, I think the birthday before she died, I'd spent it with my ex-boyfriend, who's obviously just like, it's not even an important person in my life anymore. And I'm always like, why didn't I spend it with my mum? And it's so easy to get wrapped up in those situations when you think, I wish I'd, you know, spent... like acknowledge these milestones that I went through before more with them, but you can't, unfortunately, you can't take things back and you can only feel grateful for the you're going through them now.
Yeah. True. That's one thing that I even had a conversation about the other day, like constantly preaching, like you never know what's going to happen. Like we're all going to have regrets, but it's very easy for me to say, don't feel bad for it, or don't regret it. Like, everyone always regrets not spending the time with them, but you never know what's going to happen. Like, you have your life to live at the same time. Like, I remember my dad saying that to me when he was dying. I was like, I need to drop out of uni so I can like come and spend all the rest of your time with you. And he was like, you cannot put your life on hold for this. Like, you still have a life to live. We never know what's going to happen. I could die tomorrow. I could die in 3 years. Like,
so true.
Just live your life.
Live your life. I think the most important tip I think here is definitely on those milestones, try and practice gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Be grateful that you're celebrating something so huge. Yeah.
And I do also really like the acknowledgement of grief on that, because it's okay to be sad on those days. Like, when it came to my birthday, one thing that I was really shocked at was still the amount of people that... So I put a post on Facebook purposely because... I was feeling sad, and you know, one of my things is, you know, I'm very open about, and I'm aiming to be very, very open about how I am feeling and when I'm feeling shit.
Yeah.
And I'd said that I'd felt really sad because I was turned 25, and look at all these things that I wish I could tell my dad about. And the amount of people, no one our age, all older people saying, oh, don't be sad, your dad wouldn't want you to be upset, don't be sad. And literally I just wanted my reply to be, it's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm sad because my dad's died. Like, I'm not going to be happy about it, but I was sad yesterday and, you know, I'm fine now, kind of thing.
Yeah. The sadness, I think, is a temporary state that happens every now and again. If, like, at the beginning, I think it feels like it's going to last forever, but you soon realise that it just, it, like they say all the time, it comes in waves, and it does, and that's okay. I think, I think on those milestone days, I think it comes in waves even more so throughout the day. You can have an hour of feeling crap, an hour of enjoying yourself, an hour of acknowledging how far you've come, and it'll just be, like they say, we've heard it a lot now, you can lean into your grief on those days, but also kind of chase the happiness as well.
Oh, you are so poetic.
Thanks, Sin.
Side note before we sign off, just because you mentioned it, and I know we didn't speak about it, but I think it's quite a good one to speak about, is the first Christmas.
Yeah. First Christmas, we spent it with, well, so every single Christmas, we basically always had it at home. There was the odd occasion where we didn't because grandparents were ill, so we saw them. But yeah, Christmas was always at home with our whole family. And yeah, this Christmas, we actually spent it at my brother's house, Martin, in Wales. And it was just me, Martin, Peter, Dad, and Lauren, his wife. And it was just really weird. And I definitely cried a lot that day. And the whole vibe was just strange. And so now you're looking at 4 years in November since my mum died, and we still haven't spent a Christmas back at home. So, yeah, which sucks, actually. And I keep thinking I really want to spend Christmas at home, but then I have to remember that it's not the same as it used to be before she died. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's something that we're avoiding as a family, is spending that time at home again, because we've got such strong memories of it as a family with my mum. So yeah, Christmas is a difficult one, but I do try and kind of embrace that time because I love my family so much. Try and acknowledge how lucky I am to be around them. But yeah, I definitely allow myself time to cry as well on that day because, yeah, we miss her a lot at that time.
Like, I remember for us, I can remember two Christmases since Dad died. I'm struggling to remember the other two. Oh, well, the one just gone, I was obviously in Byron Bay. I'm struggling to remember the other one, but the first one, so Dad had died 5 days before, so that was weird. I'm very lucky that my mum's side of the family is quite a large side of the family, and my auntie Vicky usually hosts all the parties and stuff, so our like Christmas tradition would tend to be different each year. But we'd often spend it, like, we'd do food at home and then go over to our aunties, or we would have my mum and dad's best friends over most years. It was weird because the Christmas before Dad died, we had, like, it was us five in the family, and then my mum's best friend, mum and dad's best friends, Adam and Jane.
Yeah.
And literally the next Christmas, both Dad and Jane had died in that year. So our Christmas was like so weird. Like
weird. Weird is the best way to describe it, I think.
Yeah. Luckily, we were at my auntie's house, and they always light a, they're so cute. Like my mum would be like, for God's sake. But they have a candle that they call Ben's candle, and now every single occasion or whatever, they light the candle so they feel like my dad's there. But it was almost like an elephant in the room, like, because he'd only died 5 days prior, like, honestly, no one really knew what to do. No one spoke about him, really. It wasn't until, you know, it was kind of just something that we all knew in the back of our heads but had ignored. And it wasn't until we sat down and ate dinner, we had to do two shifts at dinner because there were so many of us, but the first dinner shift, my uncle kind of like did a toast, and we all had a meal. But that was really the only time we'd spoken about it.
Yeah.
And then the second Christmas, that was amazing. We had the whole family and blah, blah, and I love big family Christmases. The second year, it was just me, my mum, and my sisters, and we didn't do any Christmassy things except for eat Christmas dinner. Like, we haven't even had the Christmas tree up since Dad died. And but the only funny thing that I can remember is the fact that me, my sisters and my mum were all sat there eating Christmas dinner in our bras because we'd got so sweaty eating so quickly. Literally said, we were like, all right, sorry, but our girls just have to take the top off. And we all just sat there eating topless because we were like just eating so quick. Hilarious.
Typical Vidler family dinner, eating is too much. Eyes bigger than your belly.
Yeah. So that was funny because we definitely wouldn't have done that if Dad was there.
So true. Yeah, well, it's like they say, it's finding your new normal for those events, isn't it? For stuff
true,
like that.
True.
Christmas and birthdays and stuff. It's just, I think it takes quite a long time to settle into a pattern again. And to, you know, I think you have to give yourself time. Birthdays and Christmases especially, you know, it's going to take quite a few years, I think. And it'll change again when you have your own families and stuff, so.
God, the next milestones, Catherine.
The idea of getting married and having babies without my mum gives me genuine anxiety, especially with children. I'm terrified of having a baby and not ever, like, you see it all the time. Like, a woman has a child and their mum basically moves in with them and just, like, lives with them for, like, the first couple of months. And I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Shit, me, yeah.
Oh, grim.
I actually don't want to get married purely because I'm like, I don't want to get married because I haven't got anyone to walk me down the aisle.
There's such a massive focus on your dad being the person that walks you down the aisle.
And like the father-daughter dance.
Yeah. Oh, it's infuriating.
And do you know what as well? I think people would be, I almost think there's this expectation that it's going to be like a film, that like somewhere out of nowhere, someone's going to pluck up this secret videotape that my dad recorded.
Oh, yeah.
To Sam on your wedding day. Literally, my dad
said, not going to happen.
My dad said to me before he died, do not expect any secret videos on your wedding day. That was one thing that he said to me.
Yeah. My mum didn't even acknowledge her death, so I'm definitely not going to get anything. Yeah. You know, it's so shit, because I would quite like that, to be fair. It's a bit rubbish, really.
I know, I actually probably would as well. But the fact that my dad said, that's why I'm like, for fuck's sake, I wish he would have done it. Because I know someone that did, that happened. Someone had a secret video, but then they said that was it. They had a meltdown and couldn't enjoy the rest of the day because they were...
Yeah, to be fair, it probably would actually really, like, on a film, you know, you show the video and everyone has like a little bit of a tear. And then it's like, let's celebrate. But in reality, if that happened, we'd be like, an absolute bubbling mess for the rest of the day.
Absolute state.
I'd
have to send the photographer home. No more pictures, please.
Yeah, no more pictures, please. Can we do the wedding tomorrow? Redo it.
Yeah, I'll come. Someone needs to come do makeup again tomorrow, and I'll get pictures there.
Genuinely, it would. Yeah, it would be grim. But I think those are going to have to be steps that we take further on.
Gosh. I mean, the funny thing is that we haven't got anyone to marry us yet, Catherine.
I've not even got a boyfriend, never mind a husband and then children. Like, not a chance.
Meanwhile, Catherine won't reply to anyone on Tinder, so.
So true. Maybe I'm single because
my mum's dead.
Because my mum's dead, yeah. I'm just going to blame it on that, actually.
I might start saying that because everyone's always like, oh, why? You know, when everyone's like, how are you single? Why are you single?
Because my dad's dead.
My dad's dead.
And then at that point, everyone just feels so awkward that they won't pursue it further. And be like, why? That'd just be the end of the conversation and that'll be sorted.
Yep, then that'll teach people to ask me.
Perfect.
Too good.
Yeah, I hope that these stories have given you some inspo for your future milestones.
Yeah, and if not inspo, just comfort in the fact that we act like spoiled brats too, but we also can have days where we feel super grateful and some days where we feel like the world is
against
going
us.
Down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're all in this together. Once you know that we are, we're all stars, and you see that. I'm really going to regret doing that so much.
We should create a DPC version of that song, babe.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
For charity, the DPC charity single.
That sounds like a brilliant idea.
Okay, I'm gonna write the lyrics right now.
Write the lyrics for you to bed, and we'll release it in the morning.
Perfect.
All right then. Right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's DPC podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have, and have found some comfort in the stories that you've heard today.
If you've resonated with anything we've said, have any questions, or want to get involved, please do contact us. We're on Instagram, it's at DPC Podcast. You can email us on dpcpodcast@hotmail.com, or we have a contact form on our website, www.dpcpodcast.co.uk.
We have a whole bunch of resources over on our website. More information about dealing with grief, losing a parent, and professionals to contact if you should need it.
Because as Kat so eloquently said in our first podcast, we're not providing healthcare, we're just chatting shit.
If you think this podcast could help someone, then we would love for you to share it.
We upload new podcasts every week, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
Loads of love
from Sam
and Kat.
See you next Tuesday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.